Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. My goodness, this song really talks about, it's by Mavis Staples and the Steel Saint background on it. And I tell you, this song is about children and being educated and not people not being moved by seeing what they need and they don't get what they need. That's what this song is all about. And why did Jonathan play that tonight? Because what we are about to talk about. Okay, first of all, even with monthly job reports continuing their positive trend, some employers are still having a difficult time finding workers. Now, because of this, several state legislators are discussing efforts to ease portions of their child labor laws. This includes a proposal in the Minnesota House to allow 16 and 17-year-olds more ability to work on construction projects. Is this a sign of future changes that would expose children to more dangerous work while they're still in the process of growing up? The Child Labor Coalition is a hub for organizations trying to reduce child labor in the U.S. and around the world. Coalition Director Reed Maki joins us now on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline to talk about these current efforts and the history of fighting for better, safer working conditions. He joins us now, Reed Maki. Hello, sir.
Hi, Jarlyn. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well. Tell us a little bit about the Child Labor Coalition.
Well, we're about 39 groups that come together, and we try to work to improve the plight of children, to reduce work dangers and to end exploitative child labor, both in the U.S. and abroad.
Abroad, I understand. Here in the United States, I thought that this whole child labor challenge and how sick it can turn into something really ugly very quickly. Do you agree?
Well, we're seeing some really dramatic and ugly incidents of child labor at the moment. Since the last few months, we've seen a lot of revelations of child labor, of children working in hazardous situations and in factories and meatpacking plants, and it's really quite scary.
It is quite scary. And you know, the thing that surprises me, I don't hear much about it, whether it's in the newspapers, the magazines, I don't hear enough about it. And I can imagine what you must go through when you hear the truth of what is going on. Can you give us a little understanding about how we got back to this? Wasn't there a time when that was healed and we didn't have to worry about the children working?
Yeah, you're right. So most child labor was eliminated in the Fair Labor Standards Act of the 1930s, and that took care of, you know, kids working in coal mines and factories, we thought. And, back in the early 1900s, we had a couple of million children working under really difficult, trying situations, long hours, you know, doing, as I said, coal mines and factories. And there was an area of child labor that was exempted at that time, and that was child farm work. And that's an area that we've been focusing a lot of our energy on for the last 30 years, trying to get kids out of the field, because our labor laws for that are so weak that they allow children who are only 12 years old to work basically unlimited hours as long as school is not in session. So in the summers, you know, kids can work 50, 60-hour weeks, work 10, 12-hour days, and it's pretty backbreaking labor. So we've been very concerned about that. But then, you know, more recently, we have seen children working in, you know, meatpacking and in other kinds of factories, the Hyundai supply chain in Alabama. We've seen kids working there. And it's really dangerous work that is inappropriate for kids. And that work is actually illegal.
Who's responsible for fixing it? Is it our leaders, our political leaders that are trying to make the difference? Is it you along with others that are trying to make the difference? And is the difference coming? Are you starting to see things change to what they should be?
Well, you know, at the moment we're seeing things go in the wrong direction. We're seeing a number of states, 10 in the last 2 years, that have tried to weaken child labor laws. These laws took a very long time to enact and to win public support for, and they were working well, and we don't want to see them erased. So it's really unfortunate. You know, the Minnesota bill on construction sites, we don't understand that. Everybody knows construction sites are dangerous places. So why would you want to let 16 and 17-year-olds work in a dangerous place? If they're allowed to work there, they will get hurt. We know that for sure.
All right, let's talk about that, because many parents will sit and go, look, my child has been working since they were 15. I started working at 13 years old in my hometown, and we would go out and pick up trash in these small areas where it's a wooded area, and we wanted to go in and get all of the trash out. And it paid me okay, and I was grateful for the job. But when you say 16 and 17, many parents are probably sitting up going, what's wrong with that? 16 or 17 years old, isn't that the time they should be working? My biggest concern is that they're working way too much, that the hours are overwhelming.
Yeah, Geraldine, you're right. You know, I worked as a youth, too, and we're not against child work. Child work is appropriate if it's limited and if it's safe. But what's happening now is that the state legislatures are looking at work that either is too long or is not safe. And that's what's, you know, in Minnesota, there's also a bill to extend hours. There's the bill to let kids work in construction sites. That's just not safe. You know, if it's fine if a teenager, if a 16-year-old wants to work in a retail store or McDonald's or someplace, really anywhere that isn't dangerous, as long as we think that there should be a cutoff around 20 hours a week. The federal law allows kids to work 3 hours a day during the school day. That's 18 hours there. So once we see kids working more than 20 hours a week, their grades start to plummet, and their school completion rate drops significantly. So we don't want to educationally damage our children by allowing them to work too much.
Isn't it too late?
It's not too late. You know, a number of states are looking at bills to weaken the law, but the federal law will trump the state laws if the federal law is more protective. So, these laws are passing. They're in some states. They're going to confuse employers. Employers are going to think that they can hire kids, but then the feds can step in and start fining the companies. So we don't applaud these state efforts to weaken laws below the federal protections, because that's just going to confuse parents and employers.
Some of the states that are really trying to make this happen, right, to make sure that these children are working these crazy hours, I'm surprised at a few of them. Arkansas, I expected, okay, from that. Iowa, I didn't expect this. Are you surprised at some of the states that are starting to look forward to doing some of this with the children, making sure that they're working and going to school, and they'll be working more than learning, that's for sure?
Yeah, some of the states have surprised us. You know, New Jersey passed an hours extension bill last year, and we didn't see that coming out of there. You know, Iowa has become substantially more conservative in recent years. That the bill there is really substantively bad. It has 23 provisions in it, and most of them are bad. And you know, one of them would allow children to work in meatpacking areas like the loading dock of a meatpacking plant, or also the assembly area of a meatpacking plant. And, you know, we've seen in recent news there was a DOL investigation, a federal Department of Labor investigation, that found children working in meatpacking plants around the country, found over 100 children. They were working the night shift, and these kids were only 12 and 13 mm-hmm. years old. And the only reason we found out about it is because one of the children, who was only 13, received chemical burns from the cleaning agents they were using, and that got reported by a teacher to the federal DOL. And we know those jobs are dangerous. For a state legislator to step up and say, oh, let's make it easier for kids to work in meatpacking plants, that made absolutely no sense.
No sense at all. And this article entitled States Look to Ease Child Labor Laws as Federal Scrutiny Grows, that's from Bloomberg. I am absolutely stunned at some of the statements that are made here. What we don't know, there's so many parents throughout our country that don't know that this is even happening. Maybe in the South they know. Maybe they feel as though it's like the farmers. The farmers put their children to work really early on. And some people may look at that and say, hey, it's just what the farmers are doing. Why can't they do this? In child labor, why can't we have children doing this and other things? Well, farms means you are working for your family, right? It's a different thing. Am I correct?
Yeah. Well, yeah, often children who work on farms are working for their parents. You know, I did mention that there are some children, often migrant children, who are roaming the country, you know, migrating around the country to pick fruits and vegetables with their parents. They're very poor, and they are working for wages. And we don't think that they should be exempted from, you know, the child labor laws that apply to all other children. But it is legal for these children to work at age 12 and to work long hours, and we don't think that's correct.
So then where do we go from here? The U.S. Department of Labor is saying what now?
So they are taking very seriously the findings that children are working in meatpacking plants and in other factories, and they're going to start targeted investigations into some of those plants. We're very happy about that. They're calling for Congress to raise child labor fines because they feel that the current fines are not sufficient. When the company that was basically hiring the cleaning crews for the meatpacking plants in the recent expose, they found they fined that company $1.5 million, which, you know, may sound like a lot of money, but the company, that was one day of their annual revenue. It wasn't really hurtful for the company. So we really need the companies to feel some pain when they do something, when they put kids in really dangerous situations. They should be fined significantly. So there are bills in Congress now that would significantly raise fines by almost a factor of 10. So imagine that, you know, $1.5 million fine suddenly becomes a $15 million fine. That would start to, you know, be felt by these giant corporations that are, you know, not watching to see if children are working in their factories.
So bring us clarity to where we are today and how far we've come. A long time ago, this has been going on, child labor, and we fought a long time to get that to stop. And here we are now redefining it. And it's not, this is not something that seems to be going away, because now here in the United States, a lot of the states here are actually considering this, or they have already started this. So as you compare what it used to be to what it is today, do you see a big, huge difference? Are we moving in the right direction? Because it sure doesn't sound that way to me.
Well, it's very concerning that, you know, 10 states have either begun the process of loosening protections. You know, a couple states three states have already had some success in loosening protections, and seven more are, you know, in some process of doing it. That's very concerning, and we think that signals that we are heading in the wrong direction. You're absolutely right. These protections were, you know, they're a long time making in being made, but to start, you know, reducing them in this very short time span, it doesn't really make any sense at all. Kids can work. You know, there are plenty of jobs for teenagers out there that are safe. We don't need to put them in factories or meatpacking plants. We shouldn't be letting them, you know, work, pick fruits and vegetables for 12, 14 hours a day. We need to, you know, we need to apply a set of child labor laws that protects children, protects their education, helps them thrive and helps them nourish, and lets them be kids for part of their life. You know, they can work, but they shouldn't work so much that they can't, you know, do sports and play and, you know, and do all the things that make children children.
You know, it sounds like we're going right back to where we were, a time when we can't even speak of it. Many of us can't even speak of it today. But if you have children and you are worried about what is happening in that state, or if people are moving from other states, are they looking into what the laws for child labor is? And you just wonder, are the children really learning or growing in a good way on what they're doing? It's just the parents, I would be terrified to go to another state without really looking into the child labor laws, and that's because of what I've been reading, and I'm just grateful for that. I don't want to hold you too long, sir, but I do want to say thank you so much for joining us tonight, and to know that there's so much more to talk about when it comes to child labor, and it seems to be growing. Now, we know that there are other countries that do this all the time and have never stopped, right? But when it's the United States, and we work so hard to get to a point where these children don't have to do this, why now do they have to do it? Is it because so many, you know, 20-something year olds are saying, hey, I don't want a job right now? People are talking about that, but we're talking about children. 21 years old, you're not a child.
Yeah, you know, employers are saying there is a labor shortage and they can't find workers. But we think, you know, there are other ways to attract appropriate workers. You know, obviously raising wages is a way to get adults to take these jobs that are too dangerous for children. It may be, we think that the current immigration policies are too restrictive, because there are folks, who live in impoverished countries that may want to come to the U.S. and do these jobs, but they're not being allowed to now. Those are two things that employers should look at before they try to balance a labor shortage on the backs of teen workers.
Amen. Amen to that. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, sir. And I'm so grateful that you are fighting the fight, the good fight, and hopefully you can get a whole lot of parents on board as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, everyone, I just want to give you his name one more time. It's Reed Maki, director, the Child Labor Coalition. My goodness, look it up and please read as much as you can. We're going to take a break. We'll be back. Welcome back, everyone. You are listening to Still Talking. I'm so sorry that I have been absent, but I am so happy to be back tonight. And thank you so much for your patience listening in to those that filled in. You have really been supporting Still Talking. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Jonathan, I do want to ask the question about 16 and 17 year olds. If I was working at 13, what age were you when you first started working? Do you remember?
So I've been a late bloomer in a lot of things, and working was one of them. I did, I guess maybe you could say I had a job on a Saturday here or there when I was 16 or 17. But I didn't get my license until I was basically 18 years old. And so I really don't count having my first job until I was 18.
It's just remarkable. In other countries, you can be 14 years old and drink, in countries like France and others. It's really, you just kind of look at things and go, we're so different. But here in America, I think, is it Wisconsin that if you are with a parent, you can drink?
Do
I have that right?
At 18, at 14,
I think if you're 14 or 15 years old, I should look that up, because this was years ago. We talked about it. But I'm curious to know if they're sitting with their parent, can they sit at the bar and actually have a little taste of something? So I need to look that up.
Let me look that up and see if that is the case, because I know that it used to be 18 years old in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. They you could drink, as far as I knew, without parental guidance. I'm not meaning parental guidance, but you could drink like alone without your parents' consent.
Yeah, my son, when he was in Paris, he ordered some Cavassier, and they gave it to him to bring it home. And I was so stunned when he said, "Mom, I brought a gift." I just couldn't believe it. I've told you this story before. And we opened the box, and it's all this Cavassier. And I'm going, how did you get this? He said, if you're 14 in Paris, you can drink. I was stunned. And not just Paris. It was France. It was just,
yeah,
come
and,
on.
But and the thing with France, and this is something I've heard for a long time, is that their culture is much more accepting of getting people, getting youngsters, getting children to get in the habit of the moderation of drinking early. So there's nothing that says, oh, these parents are letting their 8-year-old or their 10-year-old have a few sips of wine with their dinner at home. They're not going out to bars and doing that, but as far as home life, that is something that is accepted in the culture. And I know this is Easter, and saying this might be kind of sacrilegious, but we are more of a puritanical society. The country itself, even though there were native populations that were here before these folks, it was founded on Puritans. It was founded by Puritans. And so we've got a different mindset here than other places in the world.
Yeah, but Jesus drank wine, and the Bible says, so it may be
Did Jesus go out on a bender on a pub crawl at the age of 16? I doubt it.
I don't receive it. I just don't receive that at all.
And Jesus stumbled his way to the local tavern. No, I'm kidding.
Are you? Who are you telling that to?
I'm kidding.
You don't have to tell me. You're kidding.
Well, to be honest, I'm probably a heathen in all religions, because don't forget, this is another thing, don't forget that we are also in the middle of Passover and the middle of Ramadan. So to whomever celebrates those celebrations this weekend and going on to next week, happy Ramadan and happy Passover.
Yeah, and Passover, you know, it's pretty common for the two, Easter and Passover, to be happening
to
at
come
the same
together.
Time.
Yes,
yeah, they come together. So some people aren't surprised about that. But I do want to open up the phone lines, Jonathan, and really ask people if the age of 16 and 17, you would still refer to a child, I mean, to a teenager as a child. I mean, let's start with you. Would you say that that's appropriate?
I would, because again, and we were talking about this a little bit earlier. I think that we have set in our mind that you need to be a certain age to vote, and you need to be a certain age to join the military and fight for your country. And those have been set at 18. Now, if there's some time in the future where they say, okay, you can go fight for your country at 16. When you learn to drive, you can go vote when you learn to drive at 16, then maybe that changes our mindset over time. But we're so set in on 18 as the change from childhood to adulthood. Also, you graduate from high school usually at the age of 18. So that's another benchmark. So I think it's just because we've set so many milestones at that age that that's the turning point.
I don't know. I have some challenges with that. You know, when I think of child labor, I don't think of a 16 or 17 year old. You know, there are children who go to college at the age of 16, you know, without their parents hanging around. So I don't know if that, you feel free to call in and let us know what you all think. Of course, I believe the number is 651-461-9226. Is that correct, Jonathan?
Correct.
651-461-9226. Because the bottom line is that there have been wars where children had to participate in them. And when you think about that, it's quite frightening that little children were actually going to war. So I'm not talking about around the world. I'm talking about here in our country even, you know. I don't know. 16 or 17... There are people that get married. There are people that emancipate at the age of 14, right? They can literally walk away from their parents and say, I'm done. I want to be emancipated from this family. Is that a child making that decision? Are you there, Jonathan?
Oh, I didn't know if you were asking me that question.
Yeah, I'm asking you.
You bring up a good point with the emancipation aspect of it.
Yeah.
I when you go to that length, maybe you do ascend, and I think that's what people are talking about, ascending to adulthood. I think that's a good situation where the lines blur. But for a lot of people, it's not just the physical capacity to grow, it's the mental capacity that your brain is continuing to develop at that age. And so what people are saying is, okay, when you've gotten to a sufficient point where you mentally can understand the ramifications of taking care of yourself and not needing the support of other people, that could be the shift. Now, it's going to change from person to person to person, but that might be a way to really kind of define going from childhood to adulthood.
For our listeners, if you'd like to join in the conversation, you are welcome to. All you have to do is call 651-461-9226. Again, that's 651-461-9226, and Jonathan will take your calls.
Have a caller on the line, actually.
All right, and the name is?
Nick in Roseville.
All right, Nick in Roseville, welcome, welcome, welcome. Tell us what you're thinking.
Thank you, Geraldine. First of all, welcome back. Thank you.
Welcome back. I hope you're feeling better.
I am much better.
Yeah. So, no, I think that, again, it's person, like Jonathan and you have said, it's person to person to person. Because let me tell you, I'm a musician. I play right now at the Menards on Pryor and University. By the way, if you're not doing anything, I'll be playing there Friday from 2 to 5, every Friday in April, Pryor and University, 2005 University Avenue West. Anyway, so I think that it's person to person to person because I had my first coffee shop gig when I was 17 years old. It was at Dunn Brothers in White Bear Lake, if you know where that is.
No.
And it's off of E and 120. And I had my first coffee shop gig and actually started to make my own money when I was 17 years old. My parents were very supportive of me, very happy that I wanted to have a gig, very happy that I loved to perform.
But did you ever, did the parents ever say to you, you're too young to do that?
No. No.
Yeah, me either. As like I said, I started, my first job was at 13 years old. 13.
Yeah.
Right? I never thought of myself as a child at that age. Neither did I hear that from my parents. Now, I couldn't go and do certain things, but by no means. You know, I still had rules and regulations that I had to, you know, put in place. Not put in place, but to keep it going, because our parents were like that with all of their children, right? So I don't understand it when people call someone, especially 17 years old, that they are a child. I don't know. I don't know, but I sure appreciate you calling in. Thank you so much. And you got that commercial in. You won't get a chance to do it next time. Okay, so... So, Jonathan, I'm really concerned about that. And if any listeners would like to join in, the number is 651-461-9226. We'd love to hear from you. I'm a bit confused about that. I don't think I have ever heard of a 16-year-old or a 17-year-old, right, who really was a child unless they had some challenges in their lives. So I don't know how that is called a child.
We do have another caller on the line.
All right.
This one is actually long distance. Ron in Trenton, Missouri.
Ron in Trenton, Missouri. Welcome, Ron. How are you?
Thanks. And your station is skipping hundreds of miles tonight. First time I picked you up.
Well, I appreciate it.
In the 60s, children living and working on farms used some hazardous items. As a elementary school student, we sprayed arsenic of lead before the family adopted the safer poison called seven. Seven, for some vegetables, you could eat them after 7 days. Others, you had to wait 14 days for the biodegradable insecticide to decay enough. But
that sounds frightening.
Lead, it is. And lead and arsenic do not decay. They are elemental poisons that accumulate in the human bodies. You can surely remember the disaster at Flint, Michigan, when lead was corroded in the water pipes.
And has that been fixed, by the way? Do you know if it's been fixed, Ron?
I haven't followed up, but they switched back from the corrosive water in the Flint River, which the Republican governor had appointed an oversight board who cut costs by cutting off good water supply from metropolitan Detroit. Once there was enough stink about the lead poisoning, they got the water supply switched back to the municipal system from Detroit, and that stopped corroding the additional lead out of the pipe. But there were so many.
Thank you for reminding us of that, because I had actually forgotten about that. So thank you so much for remembering that. However, I do want to ask you the question about a child. So would you say a child at 16 and 17 is a child, or would you say it's inappropriate to call a 16-year-old, 17-year-old teenager that they are a child, that they're children, like just a child?
Well, I think 16 and 17 year olds need to be protected by state laws. They probably don't use this terminology anymore, but until a young lady turned 18, even if she consented, it was called statutory rape.
Rape, absolutely.
And the old saying, I was still a little kid, but the older teenage boys would say, 16 will get you 20, meaning if you have sex with a 16-year-old, you're 20 years in the state penitentiary. The other thing I was going to mention is 2,4-D, which kills broadleaf weeds. 2,4,5-T kills trees and brush. We sprayed those when we were preteens. Mm.
My goodness. And, yeah, it was a totally different time than it is today. All right, Ron, we have to go, but thank you so much for joining us.
Agent Orange.
Oh, my goodness. My goodness, Vietnam.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Combination on Vietnam.
All right, you take care of yourself. Stay out of trouble. All right, and of course, Jonathan, if there are others that like to call in, we have about 10 minutes left. You're welcome to give us a call.
Yep.
If you feel like 16 years old and 17-year-old is not a child, I'd like to hear from you. If you believe they are considered a child or children, I'd like to know how that works, because in my mind, 16 or 17, you probably have your first boyfriend or first girlfriend when you're 16, it's a different thing, obviously, in different households.
Yep.
So I'm curious to know.
Let's go ahead and break right now, and then we'll have Marie from East Central Minnesota coming back from the break.
All right, Marie, hold on. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back, everyone. We have Marie on the line to discuss this, the age of 16 and 17, that you are a child. Hello, Marie. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I really like your program. I've been listening to it for quite a while, and I'm not a spring chicken anymore. I just turned over 88 last summer. But I started working when I was in the eighth grade, and I worked at our local theater down in Arkansas. This was down south. But and I got $4.25 a week, and I had to give half of that to the home, and then I got to keep half of it so I could get something if I needed for school. But
right.
I worked all the way through till I graduated at that little theater, and sometimes I'd sell tickets, sometimes I'd sell a ticket, go around there and take it away from them when they came in the door, and then I'd run behind the cabinet or in behind the counter and give them the popcorn and the candy and the soda pop. And then help sweep up afterwards and clean up after the show was over. And I really enjoyed it because I was the oldest of a large family. And so I had to take over in the house, too, when Mom was out helping Dad in the field or the barn or whatever.
My goodness, Marie, we have things in common, that's for sure. When I had my first job at 13 years old, I had to give money back to my mom. We have lost our father. And I am telling you, we all just kept bringing money in, no matter what job we had, no matter how small or how big. It helped. It helped my mom be able to keep moving up and forward. So what you did was just, it sounds so much like what I did and some of my siblings did as well. So thank you for sharing that. And just one question for you. When you look at the age of 16 and 17, do you think of them as a child?
Well, it depends on how much responsibility they've been given to grow up with from the time they're little. I mean, if they've been taught to pick up their toys and put their dirty clothes in the clothes basket. I mean, when they're toddlers, they can pick up their toys. And when they're three and four and five, they know where to put their dirty clothes. And so if they're taught those little things of responsibility from the time they're little, they can be adulty, almost adults when they're 16.
Almost adulty. There you go. Thank you for that, Marie. God bless you, honey. Take care of yourself. All right, Jonathan, you're welcome. You're welcome. If anyone else is interested, we have about 4 minutes left, and you can give us a call at 651-461-9226.
Real quick, there was a texter that texted in saying that their first job was babysitting at 12 years old, but many jobs are really too dangerous.
This is very true. I agree with that.
Did they
mention what they felt was dangerous?
They did not. No, it was a short text. But I think when you're talking about child labor laws and 15 and 16 and 17 year olds going into the workforce, this was, as Mr. Mackey was saying earlier in the hour, talking about these children going into the coal mines and going into manufacturing plants and working 30, 40 hours a week on top of trying to learn their basic rudimentary skills and basic rudimentary lessons about alphabet and numbers and mathematics and all of that. And so I think that even if you have that 15, 16, 17 year old that acts older, that doesn't necessarily mean that their body is set up to match what their mind is at that point, even if they're an old soul.
Yeah, but children nowadays are learning so much more than we did at that age. Seriously, at the age of 13, I didn't know anything about sex. At the age of 14, I didn't know anything about sex. We could keep going up and up, and I didn't know about it. And all of a sudden, I have friends telling me, guess what I did? Nope, 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 don't want to know. Don't want to know. It terrified me. I mean, I didn't have my first kiss till I was, 16? You know? It's frightening to me. And if these are children, why aren't they being treated like children at 16 or 17, if that's our truth? I don't know, but it's disturbing to me. And the bottom line is that so many children that are in the child labor industry today are so much younger than that. So much younger than that. My goodness, thank you so much for the conversation, everyone. We sure appreciate it here at WCCO. Coming up next is Center Stage. This will be our last hour from 9 to 10. So stay tuned. We have some great guests that will put a smile on your face. We'll be back. Welcome back, everyone. We have Marie on the line to discuss this age of 16 and 17 that you are a child. Hello, Marie. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I really like your program. I've been listening to it for quite a while, and I'm not a spring chicken anymore. I just turned over 88 last summer. But I started working when I was in the eighth grade, and I worked at our local theater down in Arkansas. This was down south. And I got $4.25 a week. And I had to give half of that to home, and then I got to keep half of it so I could get something if I needed for school. But I worked all the way through till I graduated at that little theater, and sometimes I'd sell tickets, sometimes I'd sell a ticket, go around there and take it away from them when they came in the door, and then I'd run behind the cabinet or in behind the counter and give them the popcorn and the candy and the soda pop. And then he'll sweep up afterwards and we'd clean up after the show was over. and I really enjoyed it because I was the oldest of a large family. And so I had to take over in the house, too, when Mom was out helping Dad in the field or the barn or whatever.
My goodness, Marie, we have things in common, that's for sure. When I had my first job at 13 years old, I had to give money back to my mom. We have lost our father. And I am telling you, you know, we all just kept bringing money in no matter what job we had, no matter how small or how big. It helped. Yeah. It helped my mom be able to keep moving up and forward. So what you did was just, it sounds so much like what I did and some of my siblings did as well. So thank you for sharing that. And just one question for you. When you look at the age of 16 and 17, do you think of them as a child?
Well, it depends on how much responsibility they've been given to grow up with from the time they're little. I mean, if they've been taught to pick up their toys and put their dirty clothes in the clothes basket, I mean, when they're toddlers, they can pick up their toys. And when they're three and four and five, they know where to put their dirty clothes. And so if they're taught those little things of responsibility from the time they're little, they can be adulty, almost adults when they're 16.
Almost adulting. There you go. Thank you for that, Marie. God bless you, honey. Take care of yourself. All right, Jonathan. You're welcome. You're welcome. If anyone else is interested, we have about 4 minutes left, and you can give us a call at 651-461-9226.
Real quick, there was a texter that texted in saying that their first job was babysitting at 12 years old, but many jobs are really too dangerous.
This is very true. I agree with that.
Did they
mention what they felt was dangerous?
They did not. No, it was a short text. But I think when you're talking about child labor laws and 15 and 16 and 17 year olds going into the workforce, this was, as Mr. Mackey was saying earlier in the hour, talking about these children going into the coal mines and going into manufacturing plants and working 30, 40 hours a week on top of trying to learn their basic rudimentary skills and basic rudimentary lessons about alphabet and numbers and mathematics and all of that. And so I think that even if you have that 15, 16, 17-year-old that acts older, that doesn't necessarily mean that their body is set up to match what their mind is at that point, even if they're an old soul.
Yeah, but children nowadays are learning so much more than we did at that age. Seriously, at the age of 13, I didn't know anything about sex. At the age of 14, I didn't know anything about sex. We could keep going up and up, and I didn't know about it. And all of a sudden, I have friends telling me, guess what I did? Nope, 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 don't want to know. Don't want to know. It terrified me. I mean, I didn't have my first kiss till I was, what, 16? You know? It's frightening to me. And if these are children, why aren't they being treated like children at 16 or 17? If that's our truth. I don't know, but it's disturbing to me. And the bottom line is that so many children that are in the child labor industry today are so much younger than that. So much younger than that. My goodness, thank you so much for the conversation, everyone. We sure appreciate it here at WCCO. Coming up next is Center Stage. This will be our last hour from 9 to 10. So stay tuned. We have some great guests that will put a smile on your face. We'll be back.